Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hochner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist in Chicago, here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the pet talk shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. And I look forward to seeing you October 2nd and 3rd in New York City at my Dog Film Festival. All the info is at DogFilmFestival.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content, and are brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble. No rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. Their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food is here. Halo's pate-style cat food has only 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that has had outstanding success with their human product for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Dr. Donna, what about ticks and the horrible diseases they carry? And people are both alarmed and insensitive to the problem, and then they aren't sure really what to do. And I wonder how often you, as a board-certified internist, wind up treating animals who maybe it should have been caught earlier or wasn't handled right. So let's talk about Lyme disease. It seems like the topic's been around a long time, but a lot of changing ideas about it and a lot of misinformation, both from pet owners and, I have to say, some vets, at least ones that I'm aware of.
Yeah, because as you've said, there's been a lot of new information, a lot of new data, a lot of new stuff coming down the pike, even in these last 5 years.
Exactly.
And the reason for that is because, unfortunately, Lyme disease and the causative agent of Lyme disease is Borrelia burgdorferi. It's a bacteria. So this Lyme disease, you know, it's become a huge problem in many of the areas of the United States, in Europe even. Over the last 20 years, it's been there. But in this last 5 years, the disease has spread considerably. Incidence is going up, 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 even in areas like where you are up in the old Northeast,
yes,
where, you know, you used to only have sporadic cases. It is prevalent. And so
yes,
these ticks are expanding their territory. And so it's becoming a much more hot topic because it's really prevalent in everyone. Everyone who owns a dog has to be on the lookout for Lyme disease.
Right. So let's talk first about, what's the best place to start?
Well, yeah, what
let's
I would
start
say,
with how is the disease caused? Because they've changed the idea. They used to say a tick needs to be attached and engorged for 24 to 48 hours to transmit the disease. And that's now known to not be the case.
Yeah, but, you know, really for a significant amount of Lyme organism, the bacteria, the Borrelia that causes Lyme to actually be transmitted, it still is about 24.
Okay.
It is still about 24 hours. And that becomes really important for how do we best prevent Lyme.
Yes.
Is if you live, if you're taking your dogs outside, combing through every single time, you know, paying special attention around the ears, nose, face. They love to hide in the little folds around the ears. You know, tick combing your dogs to remove the tick at least once a day during high tick season, because we still know that is still a huge way to prevent the disease. But I think backing up a little bit and saying, you know, okay, Lyme disease, you know, it's all over the country now. It's certainly more prevalent in certain areas, but how, you know, why is it on our radar? You know, why? The reason I think we bring it up today is because Every single dog is getting ready to go in and get their annual heartworm testing, probably their vaccines, their, you know, their heartworm test, et cetera. Your veterinarian is likely to perform a test for Lyme disease. There are some really crafty little tests that are available. They can run them right in their veterinary clinic. You get a test for heartworm, Lyme, Ehrlichia, anaplasma. These are common tick-carried diseases, except, of course, heartworm.
Right.
So when your dog is going to get your heartworm test, the vet may come back and say, oh, Mrs. Jones, your dog is also positive for Lyme. And, of course, that sends up usually a flurried, panicked message,
yes.
You know, like, oh, my gosh, what do we do now? So I think talking about what a positive test means, what it doesn't mean, I think is really, you know, is where we start. Because these tests, and I think you and I, Tracy, have talked about this before, the analogy I like to use, and it's a little different, but the analogy I like to use is, Tracy, if I took a blood sample from you right now and I put it and I tested it for flu,
I would test positive, right?
You could test positive because you have antibodies. You've had the flu before.
And I've had flu, and I had the flu shot, so right. It's called every year.
Yeah. And so if I ran a test for you and you've had the flu or had a flu vaccine, you will test positive. But does that mean you're sick with a flu?
Right. Right.
No, it doesn't. So, and that's very similar to Lyme. Lyme disease, the only tests that are available are testing for antibodies. So what it means is that your dog, if he or she tests positive, that your dog has come into contact with the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. And it means that their body has mounted an appropriate immune response.
Right.
They've created an antibody. In 90% of dogs that are exposed to Lyme, their body will create the antibody and fight off the disease, get rid of the bacteria, or such low levels of bacteria that, you know, it's hidden from the immune system, essentially. And they'll have these antibodies, but they won't ever be clinical for Lyme disease. They won't ever develop signs of the disease.
And nor should they, therefore, be treated with doxycycline. And that's the big issue, right?
I mean, right. Because some veterinarians pass out doxycycline like
yes,
water.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, that means at one point there was a big shortage of it for that reason. But then if your dog ever becomes seriously ill
and requires doxycycline,
yes,
they could be resistant to it.
Yes.
So I think the take-home points here are that in some areas of the country now, if you test dogs, up to 90% of them will test positive for Lyme. This is what we call endemic areas where there is Lyme. There are ticks that carry Lyme all over those places. And chances are, if your dog even steps outside, they've been exposed to the organism that causes Lyme. And 90% of those dogs are going to develop antibodies and never, ever develop clinical illness from Lyme. But then there are these 5 to 10% of dogs that get exposed and they do get sick. They get fever. They get big lymph nodes. They have lameness. They, that shifts sometimes from leg to leg. And in some severe cases, they can go into kidney failure or have heart problems from Lyme disease. You know, it's very similar to people. They can become severely and chronically ill with Lyme disease, but it is a very, very, very small percentage of the population that actually is exposed to Lyme.
Okay, so I just want to jump in, and the idea of checking for ticks is very good because just like no vaccine for anything is 100% protective,
right,
neither are the topical parasiticides 100% protective.
Correct.
Because nothing is 100% either good or bad.
Correct.
But Vector 3D is a company that I've worked with for years, and if you now pretty much year-round put on, I haven't had to this particular winter in Vermont. It's rarely gone over 20 for sometimes months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute that it's 33 or 34 in the past, when there isn't heavy snow cover, I have actually seen active ticks on my dogs when I didn't put on the Vector 3D. So
mm-hmm.
putting on a topical that is both a repellent and an instant kill of the tick or any of the various kinds of insects that approach or land on your dog's skin or fur makes an awful lot of sense. The fact
yes.
that a dog could test positive for Lyme, and the person like my sister, because I have a big question for you after the break about a new vet she's gone to see who needs to go to one of your continuing education classes at a vet conference on probably many levels, but certainly about Lyme disease in from what she told me. She said, well, my little one, it's a 7-pound Brussels Griffin, tests positive for Lyme. Well, there's test positive and there's test positive. The dog is asymptomatic. Connecticut. And I said, did you put the Vector 3D on every month on the same date? First of all, there's no way she ever could. My sister is not that kind of person. She's not like you and me, the anal compulsive calendar watcher. But even if she did, a tick could still, in theory, find some place on your dog in the underside of the fold of the whatever and have a nice meal and deposit the bacteria. But it doesn't mean that your dog is sick or is going to get sick. I mean, just because you have the antibody titer doesn't mean you're going to get sick. And certainly if you have no symptoms.
And if you go with likelihood, 90% of dogs aren't going to get sick.
That's right. So then I just one question before the break. Is there a little pregnant and a lot pregnant? Does it matter how high that titer is? Or is that something that should be rechecked with a more sophisticated blood test if you test? Is there a way to test more or less blue on the pregnancy test?
Yes, exactly. This is different than a little and a lot pregnant because that can make a difference and it does help us make treatment decisions. But there's a little bit more to that. So if we want to take our break and then we can talk more about
it. Excellent. We'll come back and then I hope other people don't have the experience my sister did, who I forced to go to a new vet who made just a whole new series of absolutely bumbling mistakes. I mean, and I don't have a vet degree and I can just tell you, amazing. We'll be right back after this break and Dr. Donna will help you navigate the Lyme vaccine titer test and what else to do after we come back. This show is brought to you by Meow Space, a clear ventilated enclosure that can be used as a one cat feeding space, a litter box station, or even a safe place to nap. Designed so that only one cat with a unique access device can enter the see-through box. Meow Space is made in the USA by a cat-loving family to solve out-of-litter box problems and individualized feeding needs in their multi-cat household. Big enough for large cats to do their business or small dogs to eat their own food in peace, Meow Space benefits the whole family because it keeps dogs and small children out of the litter box, too. Go to meowspace.biz. That's meowspace.biz to see for yourself. This show is also supported by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian who created many types of low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family. For the special needs of every cat from kittens to old kitties and long-haired to those with out-of-litter box problems who can get back in the box with Cat-A-Track Litter. Precious Cat's new litter, Touch of the Outdoors, is made with field grasses grown in their own fields, bringing in the natural scent of the outdoors to provide environmental enrichment for indoor cats. So, Dr. Donna, before I tell you this, to my mind, a bit of a horror story, but, you know, I get very emotional when vets who I hold in such high regard seem to just, like, be off the deep end knowledge-wise. What about the degree of reactivity in the Lyme test?
Yeah, so when most veterinarians perform a Lyme test, they're doing it, as I've said, a little tabletop test in the clinic, and the only result you're going to get is positive or negative.
I see, right.
I recommend to every pet dog owner, if you get your Lyme test performed and the vet says, oh, they're positive, before you agree to treatment, especially if your dog is not sick at all, never been sick, not sick, none of the signs of Lyme, which we can go into.
Right.
But if they are not sick at all, I do encourage them to ask, if the veterinarian's not offering it, to ask for two things. The first would be to run a urine sample.
Right.
Because if there is something, the protein in the urine, that can be a sign of more of actually concerning Lyme disease.
Right.
A kidney problem that occurs, and it can be a fatal kidney problem. So it's not anything we mess around with. If you have a Lyme positive dog, then ask your vet to run a urine test looking for protein. Then the next thing we should ask for is a what's called a quantitative test. In other words, Tracy, you're a little pregnant or a lot pregnant.
Yes.
How positive is my dog for Lyme disease? Because there is some correlation with if your dog has a sky high level of antibodies versus a very low level of antibodies, it's not a perfect correlation. But if you've got a sky-high level, you can assume that your dog has had quite an exposure, that some of these organisms are likely to be sort of hiding out. You know, their body may not be able to clear all of those as readily. And over a certain level, you know, the cutoff of like you should be treated.
Right.
If you've got sky high levels, you should probably go ahead and be treated. But if your levels fall again, like most dogs do, into this lower level and there's no clinical signs and you have no protein in your urine, Thank you very much. Keep on your tick control and your tick combing and your tick control. And we'll see you next year, but make sure you're really up on your tick protection. Because these dogs are sentinels. This means that they're getting exposed. And that's what these Lyme positive results generally mean is you've got a tick comb every single time. And I know that sounds so simple, but if people would just do it, you take a comb through or you pick through the hair and you make sure to take all those ticks off. You apply your monthly prevention and that's our best prevention against Lyme disease.
Yeah. I mean, it's that level of vigilance. It's like if you're in Africa and mosquitoes, you sleep with a mosquito net. I mean, but some of the mosquitoes get through the net, but that's the best way to not get malaria.
Asymptomatic dogs should be looked at the urine and have this quantitative test performed to know how positive they are. Treatment is considered at a certain level. And then, you know, that's what we do.
Okay. So we refer to that test. The test in the office is often called the SNAP test, right? The IDEX SNAP test. So if you hear the word SNAP test, guys, this is the yearly test, heartworm being the most, well, theoretically, the most deadly of all the things that it tests for. But you have to do it every year, both to find out if you have any of these diseases, to decide what to do about them, but also because a dog, well, they used to say, and this is a little off the topic of Lyme, but they used to say that if your dog has been exposed to heartworm through the mosquito, which is a big problem in the South, more so than the Northeast, although a lot of these dogs for adoption are traveling to the East and Northeast, that if you were then to treat against these heartworms, which actually are in the lungs originally, you could quote unquote kill the dog. Is that used to be said to be the case? The reason you need the heartworm, not if you treat for it, but if you just continue to give the medication and don't treat for it.
Yeah. So what happens, and the reason we recommend the annual heartworm test is because if your dog was unfortunate enough to get exposed to heartworm and has adult heartworms that are making heartworm babies, which are called microfilaria. So if your dog has heartworm disease and it's got these baby heartworms floating around, if you just start up and give prevention, the monthly prevention that you give, that dog can have an actual severe, what we call anaphylactic or allergic reaction and die from, it's those heartworm babies that
I
are
see.
Dying.
Right.
That can cause that sort of reaction. So that's
that's good to know. So my sister has these two little Brussels Griffins, Sprout and Lulu, and she was seeing a vet who was ignoring lumps. Now, as you know, and you fully agree with Dr. Sue's little phrase, see something, do something. If your dog has any sort of a lump or a bump, it must be aspirated. A needle aspirate, it's done in the office. And I said to my sister, and how many times have I said on all of the shows on Radio Pet Lady Network, guys, every vet knows how to do this. It's inexpensive, it's quick, it's painless, and if it just shows some fatty cells, then you know that isn't possibly cancer. There's no reason to worry further. And then in addition, and I think, Donna, that there's some I think pet insurance companies or lab companies that actually have charts of dog bodies, like the generic dog body chart.
Yes.
And your vet can have that computerized vision of the dog's body, so you can, so she or he can mark every place they've aspirated. Oh, never mind. We've already checked that one. Every single one should be checked. My vet has always done, it looks like a kind of a chicken splayed out for the barbecue, does a little hand-drawn one, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Same idea. She goes to new vet A, who feels these two lumps, or actually misses one of them, on the dog and says, they're fine. They're fine. I can feel they're just fatty. Oh, great. Okay, so that is completely unacceptable, my friends. You have to have a vet who says to you, if you're doubtful, we need to do a needle aspirate. This is really quick and painless, inexpensive, and we'll put our minds at rest that this isn't cancer growing. I mean, that's just the given. So he also said about this 10-year-old dog, well, maybe she needs a teeth cleaning. You can just do it yourself. I don't do teeth cleanings. Okay, so I said, all right, you have to leave that vet. That vet is just completely, I don't need to use adjectives. It's clear to anyone listening, you don't need to go to that vet and pay some big Connecticut suburb bill. She finds another vet, and I said, call the vet first and say, my dog has any lumps or bumps, what do you usually do? Just ask them that on the phone. You know, like you've been pregnant a number of times, and I wrote the pregnancy and childbirth book. You can actually pick a pediatrician or an obstetrician by asking one or two key questions. You know, would you let my baby stay with me after birth if there's no complications? Right? That tells you everything you need to know. You're either going to go meet that obstetrician or not. I think lumps and bumps, this is a pretty good way to determine. Do you think that's a good yardstick? You know nothing about this vet. You're not a vet yourself. You're trying to be a good owner, but, you know, you're kind of in the dark. That would be my sister. Do you think, just before I go on with the anecdote, do you think that that is, like, a great question, or is there a better great question?
No, I mean, I think it's a great question, as is, you know, I mean, one I might add on to there because it affects so many dogs is, you know, does your vet offer vaccine titer tests?
Right. Right.
Another and now we're going with current information.
Right. Which is not to over vaccinate, not to vaccinate mm-hmm. blindly. Get Vaxacheck if they'll get mm-hmm. Vaxacheck because it's a sweet
test. I just think it shows the forward thinking.
I like that.
Of an individual.
That's
as well.
Superb. Okay. So the answer is, oh, we aspirate those. Super. Mm-hmm. I say to my sister, y'all go in there and make a good relationship with this new vet. Let them look at these two little dogs top to bottom. So she does an exam and says, oh, yes, this lump. And my sister says, well, are you going to aspirate it? Okay, says the vet, not the vet bringing it up. And she says, I'll be sending this out to the lab. So my sister calls me from the office. I said, no, she just looks at herself with a microscope. Mm-hmm. She said, So Holly said, well, could you look at it? She said, we don't do that here. Mm-hmm. That's like saying we don't clip dogs' toenails, right? Isn't
no, actually that standard has changed.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not a clinical pathologist. I mean, there are specific veterinarians trained to look just at slides and abnormalities. And it used to be just how fecals are run in house. Well,
okay.
We know that the equipment to run adequate fecals isn't going to be available to a general vet. So fecals should go out, just like cytologies should go out. I mean, if you can make a slide yourself and take a look, and if it's like, wow, those are all mast cell tumors, you know, that's
Or what about it? They're all fatty. They're all fat cells.
You know,
no,
you can miss certain things. And so more and more, and especially even clinics I go into, I encourage general practitioners to send their cytology samples out.
Okay. Well, that's good for me to know. But in addition to what they then did around the issue of Lyme disease, she walked out of there with two well dogs with a $750 bill, mm-hmm. which she questioned and couldn't get around it. This is what we charge. So I felt really bad because I'm saying to my sister and therefore to people listening, go to your vet for regular checkups and mm-hmm. find out these things. But I don't expect people to look at a $700 or $1,000 bill for two little dogs that are perfectly well. Do you think that's, and this is, you know, not Beverly Hills where I used to live. I don't even know that the prices are higher there than in Deerfield, Illinois. But do you think that what the woman did, the vet did in addition to sending, and then said about the second lump, it feels just like the other one. I don't have to do it. So I'm already like, what?
Right.
No two lumps are the same. Dr. Sue will tell you that with her own nurse.
Right.
They passed up a lump because they'd done a dozen lumps on that dog before at needle mm-hmm. aspirates. They were all negative, so they didn't rush to do another one. And the dog had full-on cancer from lump number 12.
Right.
So then she tests them, does the snap test, and says, well, this one has Lyme disease, so mm-hmm. I think you should have the Lyme vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Which I used to get until my own vet, and this is something after the next break, you need to really tell us that it's apparently been discredited, mm-hmm. that it doesn't mm-hmm. give you protection. It's two trips to the vet. It's two vaccinations. It's two attacks on your immune system. It's no longer recommended, is my understanding. And people, not me, but a lot of owners feel that there are vets who will just do things because it's good for their bottom line. Okay. I wouldn't agree until I hear that someone's got a $750 bill. And by the way, come back in 3 weeks for the other half of that vaccination. So mm-hmm. after this break, I would love your comments on this. Mm-hmm. But I'm thrilled to know that I shouldn't, with a lump, let my vet just put it between two slides and look at it. I should have them sent out.
And you have to keep in mind, everyone has a different comfort level with that. But your general practitioner, you know, may not necessarily be equipped to say, oh, that looks like cancer. I mean,
I think they would only be comfortable with a negative, not with a positive. I mean, if there was any doubt, they'd send it out. But if it just looks like a bunch of fat cells.
Right. Then that's, and that's reasonable if they've got experience doing that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So they've looked at enough cells in their life. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break when we're back. Dying to know about your thoughts on the Lyme vaccination. And mm-hmm. again, this was obviously a situation where you have a little dog, the younger one. They should have run a urine sample. Clearly, look for that protein.
Right.
And then a quantitative test. I mean, you don't charge ahead and give a vaccination. What if the dog's Lyme titer was really high? Or the dog was already, you know, fighting for her little life on a cellular level. We'll be right back after this quick break. The Radio Pet Lady Network is supported by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with an anti-inflammatory ingredient made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds. Known to provide pain relief and improve quality of life for dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs, Canine Active is made in America for dogs in pain wanting to avoid the toxicity of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Dr. Donna, the Lyme vaccination. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that, please.
Yeah. And so the first thing I'm going to say, because, you know, people say, oh, I want to get my dog vaccinated because then they're protected against Lyme and I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
False, false, false.
Correct.
So as you've said a gazillion times, a vaccination is not 100%, especially when we're dealing with bacterial infections as opposed to even viruses.
Yes.
So the bacteria, Lyme is caused by bacteria. So the best protection we have is tick combing every day during tick season and application of tick control products. That is our best prevention.
Yes.
Vaccination, there are different thoughts, and it's gray. It's a gray area. It's not all negative. It's not all positive. So in endemic areas, now endemic, and this is something you need to talk to your veterinarian about. Do we live in an endemic area for Lyme? Meaning, is Lyme everywhere here? Because if you have a greater than 20% incidence in dogs of your area of Lyme disease, clinical Lyme disease, really, it makes sense. Those dogs all dogs in that area should be vaccinated because there is a huge risk of coming into contact with it, and you can lessen this chance of clinical illness. Now, there are very few pockets in our country that are like that.
Well, I think she might be in that area. I mean, she backs up on woods and there's lots of deer and she's
But there's qualifications to that.
Okay.
Because in even an endemic area, if you have a dog who's already positive for Lyme disease,
it's as if they've been vaccinated.
The question is, should you vaccinate them on top of it? Because there is new data to suggest that when you vaccinate a dog, we know what's happening. You're creating lots of antibody. And if they already have high levels of antibody, some of it bound to Lyme, all this antibody floating around can actually get hung up in the kidney and cause a chronic sequela of it's called Lyme nephritis, but it can be a fatal kidney disease. And so if you've got a Lyme positive dog already, giving that dog a vaccination, you've got to do that with more information, like,
yes,
for example, the quantitative test.
Yes.
How highly positive is this dog? Should he be vaccinated, or is that potentially a risk?
Right.
And so, you know, when it comes to vaccination, no, not everyone across the board should get it. And if you have a Lyme positive dog, I suggest you for sure find out how positive it is before you just go ahead and vaccinate.
Because you're also talking about a dog that's 7 pounds. And isn't it true about a lot of vaccines that it's the same for the bull mastiff as for the Brussels Griffon?
Right.
Quantity wise. So you're giving the same dose to something the size of the foot of a bull mastiff or whatever.
Right.
And as you would to the bull mastiff. Well, you know, what I think this leaves people realizing is there are gray areas, but there's still a line in the sand. And there's a good practice and there's a mediocre practice. And when I said to my sister, she just said, give a Lyme vaccination. She did say to me that it's unclear if it really works. It was up to me. Now, I don't really want to go to somebody with, we hope, good training and good sense and have them ask me. I'm certainly not going to ask, you know, I don't know, my thyroid specialist. If she says, well, would you like some radiation or would you like some more pills? Well, no, actually, I want you to tell me exactly what's best for me.
Right. And this brings up, there is no one best. You have to have a certain amount of education behind it.
Right.
And, you know, look at each dog as a case by case.
Right.
You know, even though these veterinarians are, you know, we see hundreds of dogs for, you know, annual checkups and for annual, you know, every situation is slightly different. What's your risk of coming into contact with Lyme? Are you positive? How positive are you? Have you ever had any clinical signs? What's your chances of having clinical signs?
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to look at each individual scenario. You know, it's not a cookbook. And so that's why, you know, again, in really severe endemic Lyme areas, you know, vaccine should be considered. But it has to be considered in a safe manner. If you've already got a positive dog, you have to really say, could this harm this dog?
Yes.
And if you live in a non-endemic area where, you know, very few dogs get Lyme disease, only very at-risk dogs, the hunting dogs that go
right.
out and have their nose
right.
stuffed in, you know, foxholes and
yes.
this and that. So it has to be made with sense, and you can still open a dialogue with a client to say, hey, listen, we know that this in some dogs can cause problems if we vaccinate, you know, so
right.
let me run this test. And at least if you can give more education and more knowledge, you know, no one can guarantee that there's not going to be a problem with a Lyme vaccine in a positive or a negative dog. But by and large, take-home messages here are lots and lots and lots of dogs in this country are Lyme positive. It does not mean they have the active disease. It means they have antibody exposure. Only very few percent, 5 up to 10% of dogs that are Lyme positive will ever get sick with Lyme disease and require treatment.
And then there's the question quantitatively, what percentage right. of those 90% have a high level
right.
of the antibody?
It's even lower.
It's even lower. And then if you've ever been vaccinated for Lyme's, then your dog will always test positive. And that's something you should keep in the back
of
your...
Well, but there are crafty tests now, like that one when you send it into the lab to
yes.
quantitate how high.
Yes.
It tells you whether it's vaccine
oh, wow.
or it's
how
natural
cool.
exposure.
Really?
Yeah, there's lots more stuff we can do
that's
now.
That's really cool. Now, if a dog is also... We're getting down to the wire here time-wise, but if your dog already has had Lyme disease symptomatically and even been treated for it or just test positive somewhere on that spectrum
mm-hmm.
and then they get either anaplasmosis or babesiosis or ehrlichiosis or ehrlichia, the various other horrible tick-borne diseases, some of which are even more dreadful than Lyme,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there any comment to be made about a dog that already has a high titer or any sort of a titer to the Lyme disease? Does that affect their immune system's ability to deal with other tick-borne diseases, or is each thing completely separate to their immune system?
Well, they're all separate, but, you know, one could claim that having a chronic Lyme, you know, antibody, if this dog does have low levels of Lyme organism in his body, that it may immune compromise the dog, and they may be more likely to get other things. More likely even is that when the, you know, a tick bites a dog and it transmits Lyme, it can transmit Ehrlichia, it can transmit other things at the same time.
Oh, it's not different tick. It's not a different tick each time. Giving
no, each ticks can carry more than one
wow.
organism. It's common that they'll transmit Lyme and, say, anaplasma at the same time.
So one tick from hell could give your dog mm-hmm. any or all of those diseases
right.
in one shot.
And, you know, aside from babesiosis, you know, anaplasma, Lyme, Ehrlichia, you know, they're all well treated with doxycycline. But there are some that are not, like the babesia, you know, the ones that we see in the
yes.
pit bull terriers, the
yes.
greyhounds, you know, those are not at all, you know, they're not treated with doxy. So, you know, having an understanding, but again, that's your veterinarian's job to, like, know what ticks are in your area, what conditions are possible. And they all look a little different. Like, some cause anemia and low platelets, and others cause leanness
right.
and, you know, so they're all a little different.
But on the other hand, just giving everybody doxycycline is the worst idea in the world because
right.
you're just bombarding their body with an
right.
antibiotic that may not even be needed
right.
now.
And the bulk of dogs that test Lyme positive are not going to need treatment with doxycycline. They need to have their protein and the urine checked. Those dogs should be treated. They should
right.
be, you know, if the test is sky high, there should be considerations to treatment to hopefully prevent the kidney problems from Lyme. So there's a lot of...
But in no case do we vaccinate any of those dogs until we have all this information and have dealt
right.
with it.
Right.
Right?
Because it can be dangerous, yes.
All right. Well, this is all, you know, good. It means that we all have to be more vigilant, both on our dogs' bodies and on the lab work, and pay attention to it. And as Dr. Donna's been saying for a year, get copies of your lab work. Ask for the physical copy so you have it in your hand or in your email or scanner or fax or what have you. Have these numbers so that you can look to yourself and go, oh, look, she was Lyme positive every year since she was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's fine. She's never had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I either want to spend the money to have a quantitative test or just say, well, the dog seems fine. She's always tested Lyme positive. I'm just going to carry on, you know, use the topical and check her little body and keep her out of the woods. I do have a friend who herself was nearly killed by Lyme disease, but I mean really nearly killed. Two knee replacements. Right. At a very young age, and all kinds of immune system problems. I mean, really sickened to death. So she lives in terror of it and has two often pinchers, and she used to have a bull mastiff rescue and a greyhound, several greyhound rescues, but just one greyhound at the moment. And she walks them all. She also lives in Vermont, and she walks them all on a leash on a path, fearful of being out. And they've all been exposed, even with that high level of care. She won't let them run free or in the grass, and keeps a sharp eye, and you know, walks on pavement. But the thing is, hypervigilance is what is needed, and an awareness of what does it mean for your individual dog. Dr. Donna, thank you so much. We want to also be sure to send a shout out to Vaxacheck, which is one of our sponsors and makes a really fantastic test for your antibody, for your titer levels to diseases, not these tick-borne diseases, but the diseases that are out there for dogs, distemper, parvo, and so forth. And we'll talk about that on another show. That's another kind of test that it's really good to get, and do not vaccinate without getting that test first. Do not do any regular every one or three-year revaccination for those diseases till you find out if you really need it, other than rabies, of course. Any last words on that, Dr. Donna?
Not at all.
Wonderful. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back to you very soon.
Take care.